Double Take is an extension of the award-winning movie review show Cinema Classics, which airs Thursdays at 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM, Columbus, Ohio. Produced and hosted by John DeSando, this podcast version features additional content and discussion with guests. Double Take is listed by FeedSpot as one of the top 10 movie podcasts on NPR.
I'm John DeSando.
And I'm KG Klein.
And this is Double Take. If you try to find the title of our movie today, The Secret Agent, you're going to have to spend a lot of time trying to find it because there are very many secret agents.
This character is not a secret agent. There's no secret agents.
My greatest character for this title was way back maybe in the 60s, Patrick McGoohan.
Oh, the Avengers.
But he,
yes.
He was, I think it was called Secret Agent.
Oh, Secret Agent. Oh, the early show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a little before my time, but I do remember
that.
Him from the Avengers. And okay.
Your secret agent.
So, John, this film has everything. And one of the things I really love about movies is their ability to take us to places we have never been and to take us to times that we will never visit and give us an opportunity to see the cultures of these places. And this film does an amazing job of all of that while also telling us a very heartbreaking story of the horrible human rights abuses that took place in Brazil throughout the late 1960s and the 1970s during the military dictatorship that was running Brazil. And it was happening
right about the midpoint.
Yeah, the movie is in 1977, which is actually when things were starting to get better.
Mm.
This is after Ernesto Geisel became the president, and he was a reformer. But under him, things were getting better, but not fast enough to allow a civil war to take place. He didn't just let the left wing completely take control. This is about a person who is being harassed, being chased.
Former researcher.
Former in the oil industry. And, of course, during Brazil in the 1970s, there was a lot of economic expansion. It was an economic miracle for them.
He was actually a professor.
Yeah.
And they had developed patents.
He had a patent that they wanted very badly.
And there was a great scene that could have been enacted anywhere at any time where the businessman comes in to co-opt that research so they can use it for their profit.
Take it right away from the university and capitalize on it. And his university is in one of the rural areas, which is under the oppression of the urban areas. Most of Brazil lives in the cities, and so the folks living in the rural areas were often being at the mercy of what was going on in the urban areas.
And we're going to talk a little bit about a couple of other films, particularly
sure.
one
yeah,
that,
when we get to
I love, I'm Still Here.
I'm Still Here, which was a great film last year.
The lead here, the one whom they're featuring every time in all their ads,
yes.
He is the lead. What a charismatic face this guy has. He has a hangdog eyes, and he just looks like he's dreaming.
He reminds me of Desi Arnaz.
All right.
Perhaps the comedy elements.
No, he
plays the role very seriously.
But there are, and I'm glad you brought that up, because as you're talking about it, it sounds pretty grim, which, as a cautionary tale...
It's a dark
our times,
time, yeah.
For our modern times, a good one. You want to know what it feels like to be watched all the time, to be changing your identity three times? And think about that under this dictatorship.
And he has a son that he hasn't seen, that has been in hiding.
Yeah.
His wife is gone. We know that at the beginning of the film. It's a great example of Brazil trying to come clean with its very dark history in the 70s when 450 plus people were disappeared, never seen again, murdered, and probably thousands of people were tortured under this oppressive, very right-wing military regime, which sadly was funded by the United States. Yeah, this is another example of U.S. trying to prevent communist expansion in South America. They didn't want what happened in Cuba to happen in Brazil and Argentina. So we funded, the CIA was there to help support these oppressive regimes to keep the communists out. And we never know, beyond his industrial patents and his intelligence, we don't really know what his political stance is.
He's leaning left.
But he's not being chiefly pursued for his left leaning. He's being chiefly pursued because of his patents and the way that he challenged a leading member of a Brazilian industry.
He's appeared in American film, but he's all over the place. Right as we're speaking, my son is in Rio with his girlfriend.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Well, how about that?
I wanted to tell him he wasn't that much interested in what I had to say.
Well, and this is a tremendous film, and don't be put off by us talking about the darkness of the film. The film has elements that remind me of The Godfather.
Oh, yeah.
The almost mafia way in which the police act, they're a corrupt group.
Yeah. And almost laughable.
They're gangsters. They're right. There's no getting around it. They're gangsters.
And
if you love the bloody battle, the merciless killings of The Godfather, you're going to like this element of this, too, because this is an action film. This is a political thriller with a lot of action.
I'll tell you again, I'm still wondering why these goons are going after him, or for what reason, but they are. In some cases, some of these murders don't really have logic to them. But one thing that they do have is a dark sense of comedy, and that would have to be with the severed leg that was found.
The severed leg tied in with the release of Jaws in Brazil. And there's a metaphysical scene when the severed leg walks around on its own in the film, which, you know, at first I was stunned. I'm like, wait, what? And then I kind of, okay, this is working. I give this film a lot of credit for doing some very edgy things and pulling it all off. It's a very entertaining film, despite its dark elements. You will come away very satisfied and having learned something about Brazilian politics in the process.
And if you're like me and you're always looking for something allegorical to redeem the film goes way over the top with that shark motif, with the Jaws.
One of the characters is a projectionist in a movie theater, and they're talking about the movies that are being shown, and they're showing the 1976 King Kong, the De Laurentiis version that everybody's forgotten about. They're showing The Omen, and The Omen plays a role in the course of this movie. So I love it for its cinema elements. Yeah. I love it for its action. I love it for its historical value, and I love it for the way that it depicts people just trying to survive in a very dark, oppressive time.
In a conversation, someone had mentioned to me the depiction of sex in this movie. They found to be characteristic of the kind of, almost a blasé. This is the kind of thing that adults do. You remember when he's with the woman upstairs?
Mm-hmm.
Where we make it a very steamy, they're not quite so...
They're very casual about it, yes. And I think that is an authentic portrayal of sexual attitudes in Brazil.
Yeah.
Brazil is one of the least sexually repressed countries in the world. They do a really good job of portraying that. There's the leg walking through the park, and you see all of these prostitutes on the benches throughout this park. And it works because you're seeing an example of how Brazil really was culturally at that time, and maybe still is today.
Yeah. And you got to get a kick out of they're dumping the bodies in the river.
Yes.
They wrap them up very nicely, very gently, throw them over, and then they go on with their lives.
Thinking that piranhas are going to get them.
Right, yes. The piranhas are hungry today.
The piranhas are hungry tonight. Toss the body in.
Much of what is so beautiful about this film is that actor, Wagner Moura. He has a face and an attitude that fits perfectly with the ambivalent nature of the film, which is both dark and light, and it does it so seamlessly.
He portrays the classic South American, very macho man who is reserved, doesn't show a lot of emotion, very intense, very determined, and very masculine. There's a masculine quality his character that's undeniable and is almost magnetic when you see him on screen. He doesn't have the comic elements. He would never allow that into his character.
He appeared in Civil War.
Oh, Civil War.
Yeah.
Okay.
And again, I would have to think about where he was.
Alec Garland's film.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would have had to think. K.G. Klein. We have much more to say. It's called The Secret Aid. It's Portuguese, Brazilian. It's accessible.
This year has been a really good year for foreign films. Not a great year for American films, but for foreign films. And this film is almost certainly going to get an Oscar nomination for Best Foreign Film. The only thing that's standing between it and the Oscar is sentimental value, which is nobody's going to get past that movie.
Well, Ken, in chatting about one of our favorite movies of the year, I think it's called The Secret Agent, we were going to mention I'm Still Here.
One of your favorite films last year. There's no way we could not mention
now,
this
for
movie.
Me, we're a small-time operation. I have 500 hits on YouTube for our YouTube presentation.
Okay.
With Audrey Harkin. You remember her?
I do remember,
So it was a big hit then because I think a lot of people hadn't snapped this up. Therefore, they were looking to us because we were reviewing it, and not a lot of people were reviewing it.
I'm Still Here is another great Brazilian film of openness about the terrible human rights abuses during the 1970s in Brazil. It's actually a historically accurate story. I believe a congressman
who
was arrested and murdered in prison. And
we think. I'm not sure we ever know.
He may have died of natural causes as a result of his torture.
There to me was the menacing part of that low-key menacing. A couple of goons come in, take him away, and the government won't even admit that they've abducted him. He never comes back.
He's never seen again.
Yeah, and ordinarily, we'd see that, a happy ending, he comes back to the family.
But
they're not going to do that.
No, because this is based on a true story.
Yeah.
And in that story, the person never did come back, but we do know that he was tortured in prison, and we do know that many of the people involved did not think he was going to be killed, yet he was, or he died of natural causes as a result of his torture.
Yeah.
But a tremendous film. One of the best films of last year, nominated for Best Foreign Film, great performances all around.
I'm sure she was nominated.
She was nominated, I believe, too.
I think
too.
This is one powerful household mom who takes on the role
and does
throughout the film and becomes something of a hero.
She becomes an example of a person standing up to the oppressive military regime that's running Brazil. And I believe the movie was set in the early 80s, so that was just as things were kind of winding down. Military was backing off of control. But again, an example of the people that disappeared. And now that film, I don't believe, was made in Brazil or with a Brazilian production team. I believe it was made in the UK. But again, calling Brazil out what happened to all these people. And in the case of Secret Agent, this movie is made in Brazil, so this is an example of Brazilian filmmaking coming out on their own about what had happened. And we don't always see that from nations. Often nations are very hesitant to be open about their oppressive. But if we want to go back a little further, all these Brazilian or films about the oppressive Brazilian regime are standing on the shoulders of one tremendous film from 1983 that won a lot of Oscars, and I'm talking about Kiss of the Spider-Woman.
Yeah, tell me about their connection.
William Hurt wins the Oscar for Best Actor, and the film gets nominated, a tremendously powerful film based on the 1977 book, which incidentally was actually about the regime in Argentina. But for the movie, they switched the location from Argentina to Brazil.
For some reason, Argentina is much more romanticized, this whole business.
The reason they changed it is that the oppression in Argentina had largely ended by 1983, but it was still ongoing in Brazil. So it became timely to just easily move the location from Argentina to Brazil to call out the Brazilian government for these terrible oppressive acts.
I think these people are just too relaxed. They let some of these goons come in and take over. I think otherwise they seem like a pretty happy people to me.
They didn't let them take over. This was a case of in the early 1960s, the military backed by the CIA. And with the USS Forrestal sitting off the coast of Brazil in case we needed to bring in airstrikes to help the military take over.
I wonder how we can do that with Venezuela. I'll bet there's some way we can.
Well, Venezuela is not a case of trying to put in a puppet government. We're trying to take over the oil.
Yes.
Political aside. But what was going on in the early 60s, and this was, I don't fault the Kennedy administration entirely for this, because most of these puppet regimes were being planned during the Eisenhower era. Eisenhower was very determined that there would never be another Hitler, never be another Stalin, and the easiest way to prevent that was to have a U.S.-friendly puppet leader that the U.S. has put in power that we have some control over. So you're not going to get another communist government or a Nazi government as long as the U.S. has its foot in the door.
as long as it can flex its military-industrial complex muscles.
But we found very soon that did not work, because we tried the same thing in Vietnam.
Oh, of course.
And in Vietnam, that government collapsed under the weight of the people. The people rebelled.
Yeah.
But what ended up happening in the case of Brazil was this government knew they were in power thanks to the U.S., and they became corrupt, and they became bloodthirsty, and they used to do whatever they needed to do to keep their power, no matter how vile that was.
Yep.
I have a very good friend who worked for the State Department, and he tells a story that gets passed around the State Department to this day. When the first Brazilian president under the U.S. came to the United States, and he was given a tour of the state by its governor, and the governor pointed to a bridge, said, he patted his wallet and said, 10% right here. A year later, that governor went to Brazil, and the Brazilian president said, look at that bridge. And the governor said, what? I don't see a bridge. padded his wallet. 100% right here.
Oh,
and this is what happened.
Yeah, of course.
And it's a telling story of you put these puppets in charge, and they're just going to take everything they can get.
It's also instructive about current political situations around the world.
Yes, yes.
And how it's seemingly easy it is for them to manipulate and get into power. A lot of smart stuff goes on behind the scenes. But who would have thought in democratic countries that this would happen? So these are cautionary.
One element of this movie, The Secret Agent, that I really liked is because it's set in a rural community, not in the big city, you're not getting the president's right-hand man as a character. You're getting these low-life sheriffs.
Oh, I think
these are characters that in an American film would have been played by Bumbler.
Oh, yeah.
Or like Smokey and the Bandit.
Oh, yeah.
This is just the bumbling country sheriff who is so corrupt. And he's the one who is in the pay of the government. And he is the one committing the murders. He's the one committing the rapes. He's the one committing all the crimes.
Yeah.
He can get away with it because he's protected by the people above
him. And he
him.
Has all these goons who are ready to do the job that are barely know what they're doing, but they don't have any other source of income, so they take these jobs and have some idea of why they're dumping a body in the river, but they do it so utterly casually. I love it.
It's funny in a Smokey and the Bandit kind of way, but it's sad because these are the people that are supposed to be protecting the population, and they are the corrupt ones. When the government and the defense forces are the bad guys, you end up with a situation like we see in this movie in Brazil in the 1970s or Argentina.
There's a good film called Go Ahead Brazil, and it was actually in 1982. And it's about exactly what we've discussed here.
Yeah, 82
Days of military dictatorship, when the Brazilian people against the government were put in jails, tortured, and some of them assassinated by the military and paramilitary people. Just thought I'd throw that in. Neither one of us had seen it.
And a good companion, going back to this, is Kiss of the Spider-Woman.
Yeah.
About a political dissident who's been thrown in prison. They toss in this gay man who is there primarily to try to get information from the dissident.
Yeah.
And they end up forming a bond.
Yeah.
The movie is about forming of this bond. It's an amazing piece of LGBTQ. It's considered to be a key film in the LGBTQ film history, filmography, whether you're talking about the original version with William Hurt and Raul Julia as the dissident, or you're talking about the musical version that just came out last year, which was also fantastic. I love that film. Yeah, key films about the torture and the imprisonment and the disappearing of these people.
And I wonder, what stage do we get where we could freely do that, if, for instance, that should ever happen to us?
We have enough control over our civil rights. We're standing up to ICE right now as a population.
And ICE is a good use of what's going on in the film. And now if you look at it, see how many years later, and even in our contemporary time, you can see the parallels and the caution.
Yeah, I don't think we could see anything like what happened in Brazil happen here, just because we have the Constitution, we have these checks and balances, and when even something like the mayor of Columbus, Mayor Ginther, is telling ICE the police will not cooperate, that's action at such a low, I hate to say low, but a low enough level that the checks and balances are working.
Yeah.
You don't have to wait until it becomes a problem in Washington versus the whole country.
Sure.
It's being handled now at a much lower level. The pushback is there.
Yeah. If we don't decimate the ranks, the stuff is happening in our world.
Oh, well, horrible things are happening to journalists in our world right now, especially when we were talking about the Middle East. Terrible, terrible things going on. But we also know that the president of Turkey is not exactly our best friend. Okay, yes, Turkey is a NATO country, not behaving themselves. The dark one of NATO right now. And
K.G. Klein, we are talking about a film that not many of our audience will see unless we tell them. This is a beautiful film, and you opened up with a comment that I think is absolutely true. This film has just about everything in it. Not only does it have an interesting plot, it has great cinematography. It has terrific, I'm thinking of that Sabastinia, the 77-year-old lady who takes him in.
Oh, yes.
Her acting was so honest, and so many of the others, as you said.
This is a foreign film that audiences in America will find fascinating.
Yeah.
It's in Portuguese.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except when they have white letters up on the screen. I find it perfect.
I had no trouble with the subtitles at all,
and I
didn't find it distracting. I was so engrossed not only in the story, but also in the culture. Yeah. I was caught up in this culture that I can never, ever go to because this is 1977, and this is not the way that Brazil is today.
Yeah. So the film is The Secret Agent. It's out there now. You and I both believe it'll be nominated.
I would be very disappointed if it wasn't nominated.
And Ken, people are beginning to get good films now, and they have choices. So why would anybody go see this film?
Well, because you've already seen Avatar. You've probably seen The Housemaid. And if you want to see a really terrific film that you can talk to your friends about because they haven't seen it, go see The Secret Agent, because you're going to learn something from this movie. You're going to be dropped into a culture of corruption, but also compassion and beauty.
Knowing how modest you are about all this stuff, that your own country's movie sentimental value, the Norwegian film.
Oh, my, yes, sentimental value.
Is another one.
Yeah.
If they see it, they're going to talk about it.
Yes.
They're going to love it.
It's with pleasure that I would see Sentimental Value and The Secret Agent both be nominated for the Oscar and let them duke it out. I don't think anything can get past Sentimental Value. It's such a beautiful film, and it's so beautifully acted. But I think you can really learn from a history lesson from,
I think you are right,
The Secret Agent. Don't let the title throw you. This is a really
much of what
film.
I know that's going on beyond the States, I get from films.
Yes.
And I'm very happy for that. Films today are just plant you there. They take you out of your seat, and they plant you right in the country. They do a brilliant job. So it's called The Secret Agent.